Our speaker today, brothers and sisters, will be an introduction from me. We will now ask Brother Alec McPherson to give us words of exhortation.
My dear brethren and sisters, through our presiding brother, we've all thanked our God for what you're able to witness this morning. Whoever thought, humanly speaking, I would have the power of utterance at this time of life? But it is, as we always say, it's by the grace of God we are what we are. And his grace, which was bestowed upon us, we hope is not in vain, but that we're going to labour more abundantly than you all, and yet not worthy, but the grace of God that is with us. And this, brethren and sisters, this feast of remembrance is what Paul calls a feast of love. And this is what we want to try and remember this morning. And we realize this by just a little meditation upon scripture that we all know of by heart. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And in our remembrance this morning, brethren and sisters, can we just try to think of what those words mean, that you and I were children of the dust. We had no hope. We were without God in the world. And now, by the grace of God, you and I have been exalted to be sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. What a wonderful change in our relationship, brethren and sisters, by this call, this hope of the gospel in Christ Jesus our Lord. As if that wasn't sufficient, the apostle goes on to say, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. Do we, brethren and sisters? Here's exhortation for us to start with. Paul says we know, John says we know, that when he, Jesus, shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then we think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. And then, brethren and sisters, ourselves, our high and holy calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul tells us that by love we shall serve one another, that our only provocation is that we shall provoke one another to love and to good works, and that we realize that it is God and Christ who have accomplished these great things for us, whereof we are glad. Now, in connection with ourselves, I want, if I can, by the grace of God, to have a little homely talk to every one of us. We're going to start with a thought that has come to us by the grace of God and ask ourselves a few personal questions, brethren and sisters. We feel This is good exercise. Just ask yourself, why have you come here? What is the purpose of it all? Where do I fit into this feast of love? What part can I play in connection with this feast of remembrance? And it's these personal questions, brothers and sisters, which I feel is so good and so profitable, especially in these days in which we're living, when we're so much rush and bustle, as we all know. And here is something I think that you and I do well to think about in this change, in this world in which we find ourselves. In old times, the old brethren and sisters in the main had to walk to the meeting. Or, if they were fortunate enough, they'd be able to have a cycle. But there was no one in those early days who had any cars or motorbikes or any other way of transport. And we read of many of our brethren and sisters walking miles to a meeting. And this was a blessing in disguise, I think, brethren and sisters, when we look back at it. It gave our brethren and sisters time to ask these questions we have asked, to meditate upon it all, and to get a vision of those things that they're going to call to mind in breaking bread and drinking wine. And it was all to the good. But what of it today, brothers and sisters? We're rushed, aren't we, to the meetings in the main, in cars. And unless you and I take ourselves in hand and stop and stand still and see the salvation of God, we're not going to profitably remember the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's this preparation, it is what the prophet says of Israel, prepare to meet thy God. Improve thy talents with due care, for the great day thyself prepare. Now can we feel, brethren and sisters, before our God, that these things we have put into operation, we have stopped to think, we have thought about these things, what it all means to us, and we have come prepared to meet our God? This, I feel, is one of the weaknesses of the present day. Unless you and I take ourselves in hand and stop to think, we're going to be rushed away. We're going to be caught up in this world of speed that we don't even have time to think upon these things we are doing. And this is one of the things that John says, I have many things to write unto thee, but I will not with paper and pen write unto thee, but I will see thee shortly and speak face to face. And this is what we're endeavoring to do by the grace of God. Now we want to think of something else, which I trust will be helpful to myself and also to every one of us. There was a certain sister, there may be a lot more that I haven't got into contact with, but she always said she liked to go in the car for 4 or 5 miles so she could collect her thoughts and prepare for the breaking of bread. She thought that this gave her the opportunity to do this, and this is why she did it. Of course, her husband was there to drive her, and so she didn't have to keep her mind so much on the road. But this is the idea of this preparation, brethren and sisters. And there are all sorts of things that you and I can prepare for Sunday morning. But it's been often said, perhaps from this platform, that do all you can on a Saturday night. Prepare all you can for Sunday morning. Don't leave everything to the last minute Sunday morning, brethren and sisters. Realize what it all means. It's a matter of life and death. And you and I can't just come to this breaking of bread, especially in this slipshod sort of a way. And we're all human, brethren and sisters. And unless you and I are going to take ourselves in hand, we're going to find ourselves just automatically coming here on Sunday morning, breaking the bread, and going away, and forgetting all about it. Now, this is not good, brethren and sisters. And it's your good that we feel that we want to help one another. Now another thought, and it's come to me not by any wisdom of mine, but by, again, the grace of God. By the grace of God, I was removed from England in 1914. Some of you perhaps still remember that far-off day, but nevertheless, this is what happened. And my brother went to Canada in March of 1914. And as you all know, the First World War broke out in August of that year. My brother and I were homesick, and we should have returned to England if the war had not come on. But when the war broke, we felt there was no good coming back to the old country. In this state of affairs, we better stay put, and we made the best of it and stopped in Canada. And it was not until 1917 that I decided to be baptized. And as a result of that, I was all that time in Canada, my parents had been baptized and become Christian elephants at Napton, not far away. But the truth did not appeal to me in my young days. The winter evenings, I would go down with Mother down to the lectures Sunday night because I knew it pleased her. But speaking honestly, I cannot remember a word of what I heard in those lectures. It was through changed circumstances that brought me to my senses to realize the world and what it all meant and to rub shoulders with it, that it brought me to realize what an empty world it was. And if there was something better, then I wanted it. And it was by the grace of God. There was only two or three brethren out there on the farm at Reshaw in Saskatoon. A brother and sister who went out from Leeds. The brother was a very capable brother, Brother Jones. And he examined me and baptized me. And as a result of that, we had two winters. There's a brother Gordon, he was a bachelor, and I was with him. And for the winters of 1917 and 18, we were alone. We didn't even have a woman to disturb the peace of that time. And again, I'm going to say, it is by the grace of God. And I'm saying this, brothers and sisters, because of the results of these things that transpired in my life in those days of the war. I had just been baptized into the truth, as you know, in 1917 in February, and so that first winter I and Brother Jones, he had just been baptized as well, and so we were both keen to learn all about the truth. And I got out of Christendom Astray, and I read Christendom Astray right through. And I read it again the second time, and I got my Bible, and every quotation that Brother Roberts gave in those 18 lectures on first principles, I dotted them down in my old Bible. I put the subject at the beginning, and then I said from the subject to the first quotation that Brother Roberts gave, and I went on through all the quotations all through my Bible. And this was a godly exercise, brethren and sisters, which I have come to realize unconsciously, that enables me to stand before you today. And this I commend to every one of us. Last week our exhorting brother commended the Ministry of the Prophets. Very good book, very substantial, very reliable. Very good foundation. But I'm going to say this, Christendom Astray, I think is wonderful. And if the brethren and sisters cannot find time to read this book today, I commend them to use it as a textbook to prepare all their addresses, so they're going to have a skeleton foundation of the first principle of the oracles of God, which is going to give us salvation, brethren and sisters. And I feel that this is the result. This meditation upon God's Word, this looking up all these quotations and stopping and joining them up together, I think this godly exercise impressed upon my mind. And so it has been said, you can't destroy the Bible, old Max about. If you're going to destroy the Bible, you've got to destroy him as well. Because, by the grace of God again, his word, as Paul said, is written in the tablets of my heart, so that I am able. And God again has given me very good memory, brethren and sisters. The two together, I think, learning the Word of God. And this I want to stress if I can, because there is a tendency today, brethren and sisters, perhaps always has been this tendency, but there is a tendency today to just learn enough of the truth, to be baptized, and then to feel, well, that's all they've got to do. And it's not true, brethren and sisters. It's only beginning. And I'm very sorry to say that we've heard of someone who, as the sister said herself, so-and-so went out of their way to meet me and to speak to me upon the truth. But as soon as I've been baptized, they have left me severely alone. It's not good, brethren and sisters. It's only the beginning. They're our children. We're responsible for them. We cannot just bring them into the truth and just leave them. We've got to realize they're newborn babes. They want feeding on the milk of the Word to grow to the full stature of men and women in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we think this great example of Paul, don't we? Who said, because he thought he would not see Timothy for a certain time, he says, in case I tarry, I write unto thee, what for? That thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, the ecclesia of the living God, the ground and the pillar of the truth. This is a godly example that you and I want to follow, to realize that when we brought him into the truth, we haven't finished our work. Paul didn't. He said when he wrote to the brethren and sister in Thessalonica, he said, as a nurse, he said, I have cherished and nourished you. What for, Paul? Because of, he goes on to say, what is my joy and crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and our joy. This is the example in Scripture, brethren and sisters. And you and I want to realize the golden opportunity. And I want to come back now, I can, in connection with this great godly exercise, for you and I to realize that the great God of the universe has called you and I to be stewards of the mysteries of his word in this our day and generation, that he has asked us to be builders, to sow and water, and he will give the increase. Let you and I realize this great honor that the God of all creation has bestowed upon us creatures, that he wants us to work with him, to be co-laborers with him, to assist him in the great work. And therefore, let you and I realize this privilege of ours, this golden opportunity that's ours, and let us endeavor, as Paul tells us, by love to serve one another. We cannot, brethren and sisters, be independent when the truth. We belong to the family of God, and it's ours to feed one another of the wholesome word of God, to realize the work that is before us, that you and I have been called by the grace of God to this great work. And now, we're going to get a bit more personal as well, by the grace of God. Paul tells us to examine ourselves before we partake of these things. Not to examine our brethren and sisters. Paul knew that automatically we should do that, didn't he, brethren and sisters? Oh, no. We've got to examine ourselves. And that's why I started as I did in connection with coming to this feast. Have we thought about it? Have we examined it? Do we realize what it all means? What purpose we play in connection with it all? All these personal questions come out. But now, in connection with this very personal one, this brother that baptized me out on the prayer in 1917, when I was coming back to England, he placed a letter in my hand and said, read it when you get on the train. I opened it and I read it. And perhaps you'll be amazed at what it contained. Perhaps you won't. He says, set Alec Mack up by the wall. Turn on the floodlight of Scripture and let him see himself as he is. It'll do him good. This is it. This is the person aspect. And this, brethren and sisters, has been a great help to me all through my ecclesial life. I've endeavoured to do that, to remember what that faithful brother said and told me it would do me good to pluck the floodlight of Scripture and let me see myself as I really am. This is it. And this is what this self-examination will do, brethren and sisters. And this is what we want to realize. And you know, when we examine ourselves, we don't have to look far back, do we? We only need go back to last Sunday and try and think what we have done during the last week, how we have spent our time and our strength, whether we have given diligence to make our calling and election sure. And if ever there was a time, brethren and sisters, when we needed the exhortation of Paul, redeem the time, buy up the time, because the days are evil, surely we say amen to that. Now, what about this personal examination of ourselves before we partake of these things? And again, it's Brother Roberts, if ever you're able to get out of those seasons of comfort, those 52 exhortations that he gave at Birmingham Temperance Hall, and then gave another 52 exhortations, seasons of comfort and further seasons of comfort. These are the truth, brothers and sisters, the foundation of our faith that you and I should build upon, the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And it's these godly exercises that you and I, as Paul said. And you know, it seems as though they had the same trouble that we've got today. And one of his exhortations, which although I read it years ago, this one especially stayed with me and has been a good stay for me through my ecclesial life. And his words of exhortation in connection with time, he says, one day you'll have to find time to be ill. One day, he says, you'll have to find time to die. One day, he said, you'll have to find time to be raised from the dead. And one day, you'll have to find time to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And what's going to be the answer then, brethren and sisters? We know it. We've just read it if we've done our daily readings. And this is another thought. And this is another thing, brethren and sisters, unless you and I are taking ourselves in hand and pulling ourselves up with a jerk, with all this increase of speed, and yet, amidst it all, we don't even find time, do we? And this is still excuse. Oh, I haven't had time. And you know the old saying, never put off till tomorrow what you can do today. And we know, because we've just read it, haven't we, in our readings of what's going to happen at the judgment seat, when, as the righteous judge of all the earth says, and here it is, brethren, and this is where the bonds of love come in again. And it's hard for you and I to realize these words that we've read again from Matthew. But inasmuch as ye did it unto the least of these my brethren, or ye did it not, ye did it or ye did it not, Oh, dear, if only you and I could realize that what we do and what we say to our brethren and sisters is as though we had done it or not done it unto Christ. Wouldn't it put the brake on us, brethren and sisters? Wouldn't it cause us to stop and to think? But this is the love, the bonds of love. And here we are warned about it and reminded, and not we get to the judgment seat of Christ and then try to think about it. And now this reminds, oh, if only I'd have realized, if only I'd have been wise in my day and generation and made this preparation. Well, now is the accepted time, then. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to prepare for that day until the Lord returns. We shall say more about that tonight, if the Lord will. But I do want to realize this opportunity that's ours. While we have life, we have our brethren and sisters, that we can do good to them. That is our privilege, it's our bond of love to our brethren and sisters, to realize what we do and say to our brethren and sisters, Jesus says is as good as done it to him. And if these things can constrain us, brethren and sisters, so that you and I will not wait till we get to the judgment seat, but we should use this golden opportunity that we've got now of examining ourselves every week, every day, and to realize, we sing sometimes, meanwhile in service, day by day, we do remember that. And in conclusion, brethren and sisters, we think of this bond of love, the Lord Jesus Christ and our God. And by this remembrance and the grace of God, may you and I receive strength to go forward in the work of the Lord, to realize this opportunity that's ours, that while we have life and strength and the grace of God, we're going to be determined, we're going to make up our minds more and more that this is the truth. And we want to be all in the kingdom of God together, brothers and sisters. This is the whole object of these godly exercises, that we're going to build one another up in a most holy faith. We're together now. We want to be together in the kingdom, brothers and sisters. This is the whole purpose of it all. And this is why, when this thought has come to my mind, I'm going to give it to you now before I close, because I think these words are so beautiful. And when they were sung, as they were sung when I first heard them, be children's voices, my daily occupation, and there were some young boys and girls going round the streets of Rugby, and they were not Christadelphians, they were one of the other ministers of religion. Was taking these boys and girls round the streets of Rugby. And those words so impressed me, because, brethren and sisters, I was in tune with it. That made all the difference. That's why I had to prick up my ears and take notice, because they were such simple words and yet so profound, brethren and sisters, especially those of us who know the truth and love the truth. And the simple words were, the best book to read is the Bible. If you read it every day, it will help you on the way. The best book to read is the Bible. So, let us conclude with those wonderful expressions of love of God Himself. that seems to crown it all when, as the apostle said, concerning the worthies of old, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, we persuaded them and embraced them, confessed they were strangers and pilgrims. These all died in faith, not having received these promises, God, not man, having provided some better thing for us, you and I, brothers and sisters, in these far-off days, that they without us should not be made perfect. Oh, the love of God, brethren and sisters, manifest in Christ and the love of Christ. Let us take heed to our ways. Let us prepare to meet our God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and with him be exalted even to the divine nature, and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust.